Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Laura Irish, and she's a grad assistant in research in horticulture at Iowa State University. Good morning to you, Laura.
Well, good morning, Levon.
Well, there have been lots of challenges the last couple months. Well, there's always challenges in horticulture because nature always kind of trips us up sometimes. So we want to talk about, of course, the field day that's coming up at the Armstrong Farm. So let's do that, and then I want to find out a little more about you, Laura. So when is and where is the Garden Field Day?
So the Garden Field Day is Tuesday, August 1st at 6:30 p.m., like you said, at the Armstrong Research Farm, and it's just a little bit west of Lewis.
Right, and here in a little bit, I do have the exact instructions here for getting there, and we can go over those, but you know, this has been going on for a number of years, but the theme and kind of the specifics of what you see changes a bit every year. So what's going to be the highlight this year?
So the themes this year are similar to last year. We have a pantry and donation garden, which is three quarters of the garden, and then we have a flower garden in one quarter. And the flower garden's interesting this year. Instead of doing a pollinator garden, we're doing edible flowers, All-American Selection winners, and new cultivars are kind of the themes for the flower garden. And we also have some small space gardening techniques that we're hoping to showcase as well in the garden.
Yeah, I think there's several things there you mentioned, Laura, that could be of interest to varying people. The small space gardening, you know, some people say, I don't have room for a garden. You know, I just have this little yard, and going, well, you have lots of choices. What are a couple of the things that you'll be showing?
There will be a raised bed that people can see, which is especially good for different root crops like your carrots and your beets. And we're not growing parsnips, but I love parsnips. So I would suggest at home grow some parsnips.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We also are going to show different trellising. So people usually think of cucumbers as vining on the ground, and they take up a lot of space. But there are some that you can actually trellis up, and the same thing with green beans.
Yes.
So,
and, you know, they're lots easier to harvest, especially those green beans when you don't have to lean over the whole time. You just stand there and harvest.
Oh, yeah. So much nicer.
Yes, exactly. So that'll be interesting to see that and maybe encourage some folks to try some small bed, small container, because some of it could go in a container, too. I don't know if you have anything there in containers, but that's another possibility.
Yeah. We don't have any this year just because we have this farm or these gardens at six different farms, and we couldn't get them to be very similar at all the farms for them to have containers.
You know, that's a good point, Laura, that, you know, we focus on the one that's near us here, but these same kinds of things, the same varieties and the same whole idea is going on at all these different farms located all over Iowa. Sometimes that comes up with some interesting results.
Oh, yeah. Last year we had very drastic differences in some of our, for instance, tomatoes and potatoes at different farms just based on the weather that was happening in Iowa in different pockets and the soil conditions.
Yes.
For instance, Muscatine Island is all sand. It's a very different growing system than Atlantic, even though they're both in the southern parts of the state.
And I'm just thinking, when you mention weather, some parts of Iowa are overly wet right now, and others, like here, are overly dry. So what will the differences be? It'll be really interesting to hear those results down the road. It takes a little while to gather all that information.
Oh, yeah.
So there are flowers, and, you know, the edible flowers, a lot of people go, what about those? But they can add not only to be pretty, but they do add some flavor also.
Oh, yeah. I am a huge fan of nasturtium flowers, which are beautiful on their own, but they kind of have a slight peppery taste. Mm-hmm. So when I want a little kick in my salad, I just put nasturtium in them, or I just eat them in my garden, whatever.
Yeah. Either one. We can enjoy them in several different ways. So that will be very interesting. And also, of course, all of that donation garden, as you say, there are three-fourths of its donation garden. But during the visit at the open house or the field day, Again, there will be varying reports of, I understand there's several kinds of squash, several kinds of, you know, it's kind of a testing of various varieties.
Yeah, so we are running cultivar trials for the pantry portion. So that's most of our vegetable crops. And we're doing that because we want to make a really lovely publication for home growers to say, hey, these cultivars produce higher yields than their counterparts that we're looking at. And we want people to know that, hey, if you want to donate your excess, because I don't know about you, but I always grow way too many tomato plants at home, and I always have excess. We want people to be able to donate that excess and kind of see how simple it can be, especially if you have a backyard garden. While our gardens are quite large, it's a little bit more of a, I don't want to say an ordeal, because it's not too negative.
A challenge. How about a challenge?
Yeah, it could be a challenge to donate such amounts of weight, but at home you usually don't have more than a 20 or 30 extra pounds.
Yes, but looking back, this is the second year that the Master Gardener program has collected produce, and it's amazing how much food was given away last year. Do you have those figures there, Laura?
So for the whole project, we had 7 gardens last year. It was 9,361 marketable pounds that were donated from our garden.
Yeah,
which
almost
was amazing.
Almost 10,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an amazing amount.
And so you think about some of that produce, you know, is pretty heavy, like some of the squash gets pretty heavy. But some of it, I know there was some fruit, there were some various kinds of things that were not so heavy. So you add that all up. Lots of green beans, as I recall. But that's a favorite of folks. And I think, as I recall, when these gardens are put together, they don't put a lot of weird, odd trial kinds of things that people don't know about, because you really want people to use this.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So you're not going to see purple potatoes or anything that wouldn't be very common to see in a grocery store, just because, like you said, we do want people to recognize it. We want it to be used, and we want people to have that access to fresh produce that maybe they don't have.
Mm-hmm. So, Laura, you're doing some research, and how did you get into this field of horticulture?
I finished my undergrad at Iowa State, and I was in my last semester, and I had a panic. I was like, I really want to teach, but I probably can't teach at community college if I don't get a master's. And so I was talking with my advisor, just what do I need to apply for grad school? What kind of projects can I do? And then I'm not kidding you, 3 days later, this project came to two of my professors, Dr. Cindy Haynes and Dr. Jenny Schrock, and they approached me and they said, does this interest you? And I was like, yes, absolutely. I really want to focus on teaching people about growing their own food and taking ownership of food. And so for me, this was right up my alley.
Perfect.
And it just happened. It was quite lucky.
Yeah. So did you garden when you were young, when you were a little kid? Was that something you did at home?
So, yeah, I was kind of an odd duck, I guess. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and my parents both gardened. My mom was more ornamental, and my dad was a vegetable type, you know, tomatoes, cucumbers, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And so I had a lot of exposure, and I loved it. I was always helping them weed and water and harvest. I mean, when I was young, it was mostly just harvesting.
Yeah. But they probably put you to the weeding once in a while, too, because that's an important part of it, too. So, yes, I'm sure that's true when you say you're from Chicago, that people go, and what did you grow in Chicago? But, you know, sometimes we need to learn that there are opportunities wherever you live to garden, whether it's just a container or some of those small spaces that you can come to see at the Armstrong Research Farm. And that is when, Laura?
It's Tuesday, August 1st at 6:30 p.m.
All right. And that's at the Armstrong Research Farm. In case you don't know where that is, it's located 12 miles southwest of Atlantic on Highway 6, half a mile south on 525th Street, and half mile east on Hitchcock Avenue. or it's 13 miles east of Oakland. There's a sign out there on Highway 6. It'll point you in the right direction. You want to come. And Laura, we almost forgot. The very last thing, after you've seen the garden and you've absorbed all that good information, hey, there's a treat at the end.
There's always a treat. We love ice cream.
Ice cream and strawberries, as usual. So come and join everyone at the Wallace Foundation Garden Field Day at Armstrong Farm on August 1st. Thanks so much to you, Laura Irish, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you there.
Well, thanks so much. Bye.
And until next time, here's a thought that really applies for the last couple months. Gardening requires a lot of water, much of it in the form of perspiration.